my pleasure to introduce Mr. Van Crouch, who is the founder and president of a consulting firm, Van Crouch Communications. Van challenges individuals to achieve excellence in their lives, and he's a consultant to business professionals as well as sports professionals, those sports professionals being the Cubs and the White Sox, and including the Chicago Bears and other NFL teams. I think we'll find out very shortly that Van is a very enthusiastic salesperson, especially when you consider with the fact that he was in the top 10 sales leaders of the American Express Company prior to his organization of his own firm, and has also been very active and successful in the insurance industry. He's a frequent speaker to business and professional groups throughout the country. And besides all those good things, Van has seen time to even write a book, this one being Stay in the Game, It's Too Soon to Quit. Van and his wife, Donnie, live in Wheaton. They have two children, one Brent and one Wendy. And we would just ask God's richest blessing upon you as you help us focus this morning on the important things relating to Christmas. So join me in welcoming Mr. Van Crouch.
Well, Jim, I appreciate you mentioning my book. It's only been out for 2 years, but it's in the fifth printing. The first four were blurred, and I apologize for this picture. I told the photographer, this picture doesn't do me justice. She said, you don't need justice, you need mercy. But it is an honor and a privilege to be here, Jim. I want to thank you. When Vince DePaul contacted me about the great honor of speaking at the DuPage County Prayer Breakfast, I had to say yes, because there's nothing I wouldn't do for Vince. And I believe there's nothing Vince wouldn't do for me, and we've just made a commitment to keep on doing nothing for each other. So, Vince, thank you so much. Mr. Boddy, public officials, honored guests, it is a tremendous privilege for us to be here and to get to speak in your own backyard. That is something special. And this has been a special week for us. My wife, Donnie, who is our administrator and runs our business and ministry, got an incredible call this week. The phone rang, and a man on the other end of the phone said, is the head hog of the trough there? She said, I beg your pardon. He said, I'd like to speak to the head hog of the trough. She said, now, wait a minute, sir. Is this some kind of a crank call? He said, no, ma'am, and I do apologize. He said, I'm a hog farmer from Arkansas. We're visiting the Wheaton College here in Wheaton. I was driving up the road with my wife when I felt the presence of God come in our car, and God spoke to us. And she said, and he said, what? Well, he said that we went by your ministry, we saw the sign, and he has told my wife and I to give your ministry and your business $5,000. He said, sometimes I forget. He said, that's why I was asking for the head hog of the trough. I really meant to say the president, whoever is in charge. He said, I'm over here on Schmalley Road at a payphone wanting to know what to do about this $5,000. She said, sir, you hang on for just a minute. Here comes the big pig now. Like Henry Soles of this great committee, who's been recognized for his work in the National Basketball Association with the Chicago Bulls, we've also had the privilege of serving the sports community here in Chicago. You would know that your speaker this morning is a man of faith, having had the privilege of working with the Chicago Cubs. Mr. Boddy, when I first worked with the Cubs, the crowds at Wrigley Field were so small, we didn't bother to sing the national anthem. About 50 of us got down by home plate and sang Feelings. It was so much more intimate. Harry Carey would come on the public address system and say, would the lady with the lost nine children please claim them? They're beating the Cubs 14 to nothing. This year, the Cubs finally were able to discern what they have in common with the singer Michael Jackson. They both wear gloves for no apparent reason. My love for sports did not start at the professional level. It actually started when I was in high school back in western Pennsylvania, Grove City, Pennsylvania, a very, very small school. And I thought with some of the great speakers who have appeared on the dais at this great program, the DuPage County Prayer Breakfast, I thought, what particular credentials could I bring to this forum? With the exception, possibly, that at Grove City High School, I was the only student who ever graduated Grove City High School with 16 letters in sports. Football, baseball, wrestling, and track, freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior year, the only student ever to walk out of Grove City High School with 16 letters. And I might also say to you that my father was probably the finest coach that ever coached at Grove City High School. When I was in high school, I struggled academically. I was in the third of the class that made the upper two-thirds possible. I remember going in to see my guidance counselor, Miss Gilmore. I said, I'd love to go on to college. She said, Van, we've got a lot of young men in this school that do not know what's going on in life, but you're the kind of boy you don't even suspect anything. I did play the position called tailback on the football team. Whenever I tried to get in the game, coach said, Van, get your tailback on the bench. I did go on to Clarion State College, and I'm proud to be able to tell you this morning that I was able to graduate in four terms. Those were the Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon in four terms. But I finally made it through, and I saw Dr. Jerry K. Rose here this morning from Channel 38 Television, who is the station that's impacting Chicagoland for Christ. And I thought if we could have only had Jerry come to speak to our football team, he might have helped us if he could have done some pregame chapels. Because we were pathetic. We didn't win but 8 or 9 games when I was at Clarion State in 4 years, in spite of the fact that we had two wide receivers that could beat Dennis Gentry down the field. At tackle, we had two behemoths. Everybody knows about the refrigerator. He's big, but our people were bigger. William played at Clemson University. In fact, 5 years ago, I had the opportunity to speak to the Clemson football team. Tremendous experience. Except when I was there, a lot of the players were upset with the university because their W-2 forms were late. But I enjoyed the experience. At tackle, we had one man that was 6'8", 295 pounds. At the other tackle, we had one man that was 6'7", 320 pounds. These two men were big enough to eat hay and dumb enough to enjoy it. We had two guards that could pull right out of the line and run right along with the backfield, but we only won 8 games in 4 years. Sometimes even the women who get a little fed up with football this time of the year will say to me, what in the world was wrong with your football team? Basically, we had two problems. Our quarterback stuttered and the center was ticklish. You never knew what was going to happen when we got hold of the ball. One time we were playing Slippery Rock, somebody up in the stands had a whistle and blew it. Slippery Rock defense ran off the field, took us 3 more plays to score. I love to speak at prayer breakfast. There's a great sense of excitement, even here, more so than churches, except the other week I was speaking at church, and boy, what a service we had. In fact, the pastor got so excited right in the middle of his message, started pounding on the pulpit. And he said, how many of you want to go to heaven? Just put up your hand. Well, every hand in the place shot up except for one little fella sitting right down in the front row. He stopped right in the middle of what he was saying. He said, Bobby Ray Thomas, he said, son, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? He said, well, sure, I want to go when I die. I thought you're getting up a group to go right now. This morning's program is saying to you officials of DuPage County that you are esteemed, respected, and valued, but in addition to that, you're backed with a foundation of prayer. In a speech not long ago in Tulsa, Oklahoma, General Schwarzkopf said that when they went over to the desert, the United States government shipped in excess of 40,000 body bags. And you know that any life is precious, but you know that there was very little loss. You say, what made the difference? I believe that prayer, when the United States of America went to their knees and prayed over that situation in the desert, that was what turned it around. So we say to you today who are officials that we love you and we appreciate you and we respect you. And we are praying for you and believing God with you. We say Merry Christmas to you, although Christmas this year is sometimes a little bit more difficult to recognize because in most malls, Christmas carols have been outlawed. Happy Holidays has replaced Merry Christmas. I believe in this country that the judgment of God is getting the attention of the United States of America. And it's time for people to stand up and to be counted. Like many of you, I travel just about 100,000 miles a year. I'm on a frequent flyer program with most of the airlines and a frequent baggage loss program with a number of the airlines. I said to them the other day at United, could you send this bag to Philadelphia and the other one to Las Vegas? They said, we can't do that. I said, you did last week. On those early transatlantic flights from New York City to Paris, New York to London, London to New York, they had a gauge on the plane called the PNR gauge. You say, what does that gauge stand for? That was the point of no return. That was out over the Atlantic Ocean. If you developed engine trouble, if you developed trouble in your instruments, you were going to Greenland, Newfoundland, or to the coast of England, or you're going into the water, you had reached the point of no return. Let me suggest to you today that America is at the point of no return, that even in the midst of the promise of Christmas, we face great problems. But I am not come this morning with the few moments that I have to discuss the problem, but rather the solution, and say to you, ladies and gentlemen, with St. Paul, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, and the good news today is that you can know the Christ of Christmas. You may look back on Christmas and have one particular Christmas, or maybe a number of Christmases that were particularly special to you. Christmas 1968 in my life was one that took on new meaning for me because it was in the spring of that year that I had moved to Chicago from Colorado State University, went to work for the American Express Company on the tough southeast side of Chicago. The territory that they gave me was so tough that when Al Capone lived there, he worked as an Avon lady. And the police in my area had an unlisted phone number. In the spring of that year, a former high school friend that I had not seen for 8 to 10 years showed up at our house. He was a tractor-trailer truck driver stuck in Gary, Indiana, waiting for his truck to be loaded with steel. One thing that we had in common was basketball in high school, and I had discovered a community called Maywood, Illinois, and the 17th Street Playground. I said, come on out here. I'm going to show you competition like you've never seen before. We went out to the courts that day, and I said, what in the world is wrong with my friend? This is not the same man that I knew in high school. He's not cursing and swearing every time he misses a shot. He's not attempting to start a fight on every other rebound. I said, maybe he doesn't feel well. Maybe he's not used to Converse sneakers going by at eye level. I don't know what the problem is, but this is not the same man that I knew 8 years ago. That afternoon at our house, around the table, he changed the conversation from basketball to the Bible. He asked me the goofiest question I'd ever heard in my life. He said, are you born again? I said, am I what? He said, born again. I said, here I am. I had no idea of what he was talking about. He said, well, let me ask you another way. He said, have you ever heard of Amazing Grace? I said, wasn't she on the Johnny Carson show a couple of weeks ago? Now, I didn't know whether it was a woman magician or a wrestler. I didn't know what Amazing Grace was. He said, if you died today, where would you go? I said, to the Postal Weight Funeral Home up on Lake Street. He said, you're going to have to forgive me. He said, I'm new at this. He said, but Van, since we were in high school together a number of years ago, he said, I found that God has a better way for you and I to live than we can live on our own. He said, did you realize that man, that's man in the generic, men and women are sinners and they cannot save themselves? He said, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then he went on to explain to me that how sin pays a wage. He said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I said, what about inflation? He said, it's done nothing to affect the wages of sin. I said, well, I believe in being religious. He said, man has been throughout time religious, trying to figure out some way to reach up to God. The message of Christmas and the babe of Bethlehem is that one day a holy God saw what a mess man had made of things and decided to reach down to mankind through his son Jesus Christ. And because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross, he said, sinful men like you and I can be reconciled to a holy God. Well, this guy never shut up. I mean, it was 24 hours of talking about his new life that he had found in Jesus Christ. He said he had done something called become born again, that God had entered his life, and his life had been changed, and I could see that it was different. I couldn't wait for it to be Sunday afternoon about 5 o'clock when I said, isn't it time to go down by the Hinsdale Oasis, pick up your tractor so you can fire that thing up and head down to Gary, Indiana. That night as we stood by his tractor in the spring of 1968, and he said, this Bible that I've believe is the word of God. He said, if it all turns out to be a bunch of fables, idiocy, and nonsense, he said, I'll be better for having believed it. But he said, if I'm right and you're wrong, he said, you'll live your life in vain, and then you'll spend eternity in a place that the Bible calls hell. He said, you can accept him, you can reject him, or you can do nothing at all. That's the message of Christmas, that Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation, the Son of the living God, stepped out of the alabaster mansions of heaven, stepped on a stairway of stars, and became an embryo in the womb of a lowly virgin. There was no pomp or pageantry, no trumpets or cheers. He became an unregistered guest at the inn in Bethlehem. If you're wondering today, Mr. Public Official, ma'am, if you're wondering today if you're loved, if you're cared for, I suggest you take a walk through Bethlehem, go down to the stable and look on a pile of straw at a baby wrapped in some burial clothes with a few animals for witnesses, and look into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the message is today that you are loved, that God loves you, and he has real genuine purpose for you in your life. You have a destiny. You aren't here just to be a wandering generality, but a meaningful specific, and that can only happen with a relationship in Jesus Christ. He said you could accept him, reject him, or do nothing at all. He got up into his tractor and began to drive toward Gary, Indiana. I sat in my car thinking about my life, and I knew that I knew something about God, but I didn't know God. He said you could accept him, reject him, or do nothing at all. I didn't want to do anything at all. In fact, what I wanted to do is do what I normally did when I didn't want to think about anything, and that was to get my radio, hunt for some music. I grew up when music was really music, from the Motor City, the Supremes, the Temptations, the Four Tops, and put that music on and boogie down the highway, spitting on the windshield and beating on the dash, just having a good time cruising down the highway. Kind of like the two dogs up on Rush Street. I don't know if you read about them in USA Today. Two dogs sitting outside the disco watching everybody in there dancing. One dog looked at the other dog and said, you know, if we acted like that, they'd worm us. But that night, as you may have experienced this morning, with this beautiful music, the singing, the fellowship, the camaraderie, the reading of the gospel, it finally dawned on my lightning-quick mind that I had no relationship with God and was going nowhere fast in life. I pulled my car to the side of the road on Route 294, and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. You say, well, I'm interested in doing that. What'd you say? I just said, God, I've missed it. And I call it what your word calls it. I don't call it a mistake or an indiscretion. I call it sin. I need a Savior. Come into my life. The hood of my car didn't fly up mysteriously. The windshield wipers didn't begin to go off by themselves. The Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir did not come on the radio. But based on what the Bible had to say, as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. I received my B.A. degree. You say from Clarion State? No, born again. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you've only been born once, you have to die twice. But if you've been born twice, you only have to die once. And God began to manifest his life in mine the way he wants to do for you. That's the message of this prayer breakfast, that you're supported by a foundation of prayer. The Apostle Paul said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. A few years ago in the city of Chicago, a high-powered meeting was held. Some big demographics. In that meeting that day was the president of the largest independent steel company, the president of the largest utility company, the president of the New York Stock Exchange, the president's cabinet, a bear from Wall Street, the head of the world's greatest monopoly, and the president of the Bank of International Settlements. The men in that meeting that day in the city of Chicago had mastered the art of earning a living. They were movers and shakers. They were key players in the United States of America and around the world. They knew how to make money. But a few years later, when that group was surveyed, the president of the world's largest steel company, Charles Schwab, died bankrupt, living on borrowed money for 5 years before his death. The president of the largest utility company, Samuel Insull, died a fugitive from justice, penniless in a foreign land. The greatest wheat speculator, Arthur Cutton, died abroad, insolvent. The president of the New York Stock Exchange, Richard Whitney, wound up spending years in Sing Sing Penitentiary. The member of the president's cabinet, Albert Fell, was pardoned from prison so that he might die at home. The greatest bear on Wall Street, Jesse Livermore, died of suicide. The head of the greatest monopoly, Ivan Kruger, died of suicide. All of these men learned well the art of making money, but not one of them learned how to live. 33 years after Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, a public official stood before a crowd, having cross-examined the Lord Jesus Christ And to be fair to that official, he was under great pressure. There were many special interest groups nipping at his heels. But then he addressed that crowd that day and asked them this question that I ask you in closing. Pilate said to the multitude that day, "What shall I do with a man called Jesus?" And that's the message this morning, that you are loved as a public official, respected and valued and esteemed. But the greatest love that has ever been known to mankind was when Jesus Christ came to earth to be born, to live, to die, so that you and I might have a relationship with the living God. What will you do with the man called Jesus? You can know the Christ of Christmas, and you will not only have a Merry Christmas and life and that more abundantly, but you will have a blessed forever. Thank you very much, and may God richly bless you.